back to Gabin. Hello, friend, and greetings again in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. John 6:33-35. Beloved, the more you hear this passage of Scripture, the more it's going to sink into your mind and into your thinking, and to help you to realize that Jesus Christ is the only source of life eternal. Through His coming into our life and cleansing us from sin and giving to us the gift of salvation and eternal life through the work of His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. I'm delighted that you've joined us again today, and we're in 2 Corinthians. If you would turn with me there, rather 1 Corinthians, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there we're talking about how that the second Adam, the first Adam, was a figure of him that was to come, as we've come from Romans chapter 5, where that's stated. And so here in 1 Corinthians 15 again, and beginning with verse 45, and so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Remember again that man is a triune being made in the likeness and image of God, as Genesis 1:26 and 1 Thessalonians 5:23 state. God created man with a spirit, a soul, and a body. And so Adam was made a living soul. The first Adam, the last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And so we see the last Adam refers to the spiritual condition of man. Man died and was separated from God spiritually, dead in trespasses and in sin, as we saw last time in Ephesians chapter 2. But Jesus Christ came to give us spiritual life. Verse 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, the natural man, Adam, who became our natural father, through whom we were born physically. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And notice again, verse 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 48, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, which we've all borne, the image of Adam in our natural body, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. This is what we, as believers who put our faith and trust in Christ, this is what we're going to be in the future. We're going to bear the literal, physical image of the heavenly. And we are now to be reflectors of Jesus Christ in our spirit, as Christ has come to live in our life. We who have been born again, we who have accepted Jesus as our Savior, have been born into the kingdom of God. We are now to be reflectors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that again is a truth that is pictured in Romans 8 and verse 28 and 29. There in Romans 8, 28 and 29, the Scripture tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And verse 29 states that we might be conformed to the image of His Son. That's why all things work together for good in the life of the child of God, is because God's at work conforming us into the image of Christ. That is, making us a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what God's goal for you and for me is, beloved, that we might reflect Christ, that others might see Jesus Christ through our words, through our actions, through our attitude, through our conduct, so that Christ might be glorified in and through our lives, and that we might walk after the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, that He would so possess us that He would reflect Christ through us, that people, by the life we live, by our daily conduct, by our daily walk, might see Jesus Christ through our life and might say, there's something different about that person, and I'm curious to find out what it is. And the difference is Jesus Christ, beloved. And thus, as we live Christ out before them, it will draw them to Christ. They will want to know Jesus. They will want to know what it is that's made the difference in our life. And we can therefore share with them the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and the new birth, and how to be born into God's family, and how to be delivered from sin and its bondage and its control and its dominion. Oh, beloved, how wonderful to know Jesus as our personal Savior. And so He's telling us here, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as the heavenly, such is they also that are heavenly. We are a reflector of Christ, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now He's getting ready to show us how that we shall bear the image of the heavenly. That's what He's getting ready to show us, and that's what He's leading us into. And so He says, now flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. You see, beloved, we're flesh and blood. Our flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption, because this old physical body is corruptible. And our blood is infected by sin, beloved. And our blood carries all kinds of disease and all kinds of infections. That's the way it's spread through the body. Infection is spread through our body, through our blood flowing through our body. And so it's corruptible, beloved. But notice verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Do you like a mystery? Well, here's a mystery that God's getting ready to reveal to us through His Word, a glorious and a wonderful mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now, by the word sleep here, beloved, He's talking about death. He's referring to death. Do you remember over in the book of John, chapter 11, when Lazarus, the one that Jesus dearly loved that lived in Bethany, had died? And Mary and Martha, you remember, had sent word to Jesus in John 11 and verse 4. When Jesus heard that this sickness, when Jesus had heard that, verse 3, therefore His sisters sent unto Him, to Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now, beloved, did you know that sickness can be to the glory of God? You often hear Christians say, if you're sick, it's not God's will. That's not of God. Well, here was a man who was sick, and it was to the glory of God. God was going to use that illness for His glory. My wife is ill with lupus. And we prayed and asked God to heal her if it was His will, but it was not His will. His will was for her to continue to be ill with lupus. And we say, well, why? Well, we have a radio broadcast that reaches Asia, Africa, Australia, and Oceania. And when I was involved in a local ministry, overseeing a local church, I did not have much time to devote to the radio ministry. My time was focusing on the local ministry. And when wife became so ill, I had to turn the local work over to a Native American pastor, and I stepped in to help take care of my wife and to look after her needs. And thus, I had more time to devote to the radio broadcast. And as I began to devote more time to the radio broadcast, I began to see far more people saved through the radio ministry than had been saved through our local ministry. And we began to have a part in a number of churches being established and set up, over 150 in Africa alone, churches being started as a result of the radio broadcast that we were making, and the contacts that we were having, and the people that we were putting other missionaries in contact with, and the result was churches being established. You see, beloved, God was using Verna's illness to His glory, and God was using it to the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so God was going to use Lazarus's illness here to His glory. And so He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. God was using Lazarus's illness for His glory. He had a purpose. He had a plan. And He had a reason for allowing Lazarus to be sick, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now look, beloved, let me tell you, God can use illnesses, even illnesses, for His glory and for His praise and for His honor. And, beloved, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, our body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, we're told in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, Berna's body is God's body. And He has every right to do with it, in it, and through it whatever He deems necessary for His honor, His glory, and His praise. And so presently it's His will for her to have lupus. And He's using that lupus to cause me to devote more time to the radio broadcast and to the spreading of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus He's getting glory from her illness. Oh, beloved, there's so many wonderful truths that God's Word reveals that previously, without an understanding of the Word of God, we wouldn't know what's going on, and we wouldn't understand why this is happening. But God's using it for His glory, His honor, and His praise. Till next time, goodbye, and the Lord bless you.